Hello everyone, and welcome to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else that helps me drag my mental health out of the gutter it lives in. So, this week, we are going to confirm that I am going to be at... Well, it's not Command Fest, it's, Magic Fest? No, not Magic Fest. It's Magic Con Minneapolis. That is May 5th to the 7th. I will be there all 3 days, and I will be leaving sometime in the early afternoon on Sunday. Now, that said, I did put in for the content creator pass. Do I think I'm going to get it? Absolutely not. I know my numbers aren't that good. So I did end up buying the weekend pass. If I do end up getting the content creator pass for some reason, I can either give the pass I bought to somebody else or get it refunded. But I will be there. And right now I'm trying to decide where I'm going to be staying there because I want it to be within walking distance of the convention center. And the one that's right next to it is a little more than I wanted to spend. But it might be worth it just because it's like right next to the convention center. I will be driving out to Minneapolis. And that means I have to find a hotel that also has parking. So that might be another obstacle to finding somewhere to stay. And I'm planning on leaving. I live in New York. So I plan on leaving New York Thursday night after work, getting probably towards Ohio or Indianapolis, and then finding somewhere where I can just kind of crash for a few hours and then finish my drive in the morning. So I will be going for an early check-in as well. Yeah. I'm excited that I could, you know, afford to go to this one. I would have liked to go to the one in Pennsylvania, but just with the timing, there was no way I was going to be able to get the money together to be able to do that. So with this one being a little farther away, it's still doable. But yeah, that's kind of all I wanted to talk about here, and I'll see you in the next part. I'll be right back. Hey. I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff, believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And we're back. Now, I want to talk about a commander that I had previously built as what I like to call a Death Touch tribal deck. But I changed it up because the commander continually grows, so I decided to change it into a Voltron deck. The commander of that deck is Kelsian the Plague. He is a red, a white, and a black for a 2/2 human assassin. He has vigilance and haste, and he gets +1/+1 for each experience counter you have. You can tap him to deal 1 damage to target creature you don't control. When that creature dies this turn, you get an experience counter. So, I thought about building this with all of the different things in the Mardu colors that give you experience counters. But some of them don't really synergize with the deck at all. So I decided not to include them. Those are Daxos the Returned, which is 1, a white, and a black for a 2/2 zombie soldier. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you get an experience counter. And then you can pay one, a white and a black, to create a white and black spirit enchantment creature token. It has its toughness and power equal to the number of experience counters you have. Calamity, Disciple of Iroas, is 2, a red and a white. It's a 3/3 giant soldier. It has double strike and vigilance. Whenever you cast a creature spell with converted mana cost 5 or greater, you get an experience counter. Calamity, Disciple of Iroas, gets +1/+1 for each experience counter you have. But that isn't to say we don't have any of the other things that make experience counters. The two that I did include are Minthara, Merciless Soul, for 2, a white and a black. It is a 2/2 elf cleric with Ward X, where X is the number of experience counters you have. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you control left the battlefield this turn, you get an experience counter. And then creatures you control get +1/+0 for each experience counter you have. So this one synergizes with Kelsian in that, well, he gives himself the +1 for each experience counter. With Minthara out, he's essentially getting +2/+1 for each experience counter we have. And yeah. Even if maybe I don't have a ton of ways to trigger Minthara, it just felt like it synergized with what I wanted to do. The other one is Othari, Sun's Glory. 3, a red and a white for a 3/3 Phoenix with flying, lifelink, and haste. When Othari, Sun's Glory attacks, you get an experience counter, then you create a 2/2 red rebel creature token that's tapped and attacking for each experience counter you have. You can pay 2, a red and a white, tap an untapped rebel you control to return Othari from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. And that is the easiest of the experience counters it is to get, because you literally just have to attack. And the way I look at this is, if you go turn 3 Kelsian, turn 4 something else, and then turn 5 Othari, even if you don't kill anything with Kelsian's ability, that means on turn 5 you are effectively attacking with 2 3/3s and a 2/2. And that just kind of played into what I wanted the deck to be doing. Now, I do still have some holdovers from when the deck was the Death Touch Tribal type deal. And that's broken down into 3 categories. There's the untapped shenanigans, the extra damage shenanigans, and then the Death Touch shenanigans. So, first up, we have Mage Rite Stone. It's a 2-mana artifact with 1 and tap. Untap target creature with a tap ability. Umbral Mantle is a 3-mana equipment that says equipped creature has 3 and untap. This creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Thousand Year Elixir is a 3-mana artifact that says you may play the activated abilities of creatures you control as though those creatures had haste, but you can pay 1 and tap it to untap a creature. Illusionist Bracers is a 2-mana equipment that says whenever an ability of equipped creature is activated, if it isn't a mana ability, copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy, and equips for 3, so that gives you essentially 2 of his activated abilities. Torben, Thane of Redfell, 1 red for a dwarf noble. It's a 2/4. If a red source you control would deal damage to an opponent or a permanent or opponent controls, it deals that much damage +2 instead, so this makes Kelsian deal 3 damage whenever he's activated. Obosh, the Prey Piercer, is 3 and then 2 hybrid Rakdos for a 3/5 Hellion Horror. It has Companion. Your starting deck contains only cards with odd converted mana costs and land cards. I am not running it as a companion because I lose too much. Mainly 2 mana rocks. But if a source you control with an odd converted mana cost would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals double that damage to that permanent or player instead. So in addition to doubling his damage when he attacks, it also doubles the damage that he does when he is tapped to hit something, so it makes him hit for 2. Then there's the Death Touch shenanigan side. First up, we have Falthus, Shadowcat Familiar, 2 and a black for a 2/2. Nightmare Cat. Commanders you control have Menace and Death Touch. Ankle Shaker is 2 red, white, black for a 2/2 Goblin Berserker with haste. Whenever Ankle Shaker attacks, creatures you control gain first strike and death touch till end of turn. Archetype of Finality is 4 black black for a 2-3 Gorgon. Creatures you control have Death Touch. Creatures your opponents control lose Death Touch and can't have or gain Death Touch. Then there's just the utility stuff. Goblin Sharpshooter is kind of our backup Kelsian. 2 and a red for a 1-1 Goblin. Doesn't untap during your untap step. Whenever a creature dies, untap it, and it deals 1 damage to target creature or player. So if we give it Death Touch, it just machine guns the table. Vault of the Archangel is a land. It taps for a colorless, but you can pay 2, a black and a white, to give creature control Death Touch and Lifelink till end of turn. And then, arguably, the best land in a Kelsian deck is Forbidden Orchard. It's a land. It taps for 1 mana of any color. And whenever you tap it for mana, an opponent makes a 1-1 colorless spirit creature token that we can then eat with our Kelsian. Now we're going to get into the stuff that I changed and added. And I'm going to kind of quick fire the first little batch of this because it starts with Sword of Fire and Ice, Sword of Hearth and Home, Sword of Feast and Famine, Sword of Sinew and Steel, Sword of War and Peace, Sword of Body and Mind, Sword of Truth and Justice. I do not have Light and Shadow in here, and I don't have the new Frontier and Forge, I believe it is. Yeah. So, they each give +2/+2 and protection from 2 colors, and then they each have different extra abilities. So, like, Fire and Ice is, when it deals combat damage to a player, it deals 2 damage to a creature or player, and I draw a card. Hearth and Home is whenever it deals combat damage to a player, exile a creature you own, then search your library for a basic land card, and you return both to the battlefield under your control. The Feast and Famine untaps my lands and makes whoever I hit discard a card. Sinew and Steel can destroy a planeswalker and an artifact. War and Peace deals damage to the player equal to the number of cards in their hand, and I gain 1 life for each card in my hand. Body and Mind gives me a 2-2 and mills them for 10. And then Truth and Justice puts a counter on a thing and then proliferates. And honestly, I think that one's probably the best in the deck because what you do is you throw it on Kelsian. You attack. You put a +1/+1 counter on Kelsian, but then you proliferate the counter, making it 2. But then you also proliferate the experience counter. So you're essentially giving him +3. And then, yeah. Don't know how much I have in here that gives him double strike, but he does grow quickly out of hand. Then I just kind of want to finishes off with the last 3 cards, the first one being Basilisk Collar. 1 mana equipment, equipped creature has Death Touch and Lifelink, equips for 2. Hero's Heirloom is a 2 mana equipment, equipped creature gets +2/+1, as long as it's legendary it has Trample and Haste, equips for 2. And then Loxodon Warhammer, 3 mana, equipped creature gets +3/+0, has Trample and Lifelink, and equips for 3. So, those are just good old utility. The last two are there because they give Trample. It doesn't do us a whole lot of good if we make our boy huge, but then can't get in anywhere. That facilitates that. But, with that said, that's kind of it. That's where the deck ended up. I piloted it for the first time yesterday, and it went very well. I didn't end up winning that game, but out of a 6-player game, I took out 2 and I was about to take out the 3rd, so I kind of call that a win. But I will see you next time, and possibly in Minneapolis. I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.